Jim Cimbala is the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York. And in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, he tells the story of a particular Easter service at the church. And he says it was a wonderful service. And at the end of the service, he kind of sat down at the front of the chancel area of the stage, and people were praying on his sides, and he just kind of sat there to soak in the glow of just a glorious Easter celebration. And then his eyes caught the eye of someone who was sitting in a few rows back in the sanctuary. And this man appeared, as often happens at Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, to be homeless. And Pastor Cimbala says he thought to himself, oh boy, another person coming to look for money. And so reluctantly he stood up and made his way to this man. And as he got closer, he noticed this stench. And he said by the time he got near to this man, he had to turn his face away to inhale and then turn his face back to talk with him because the odor was so off-putting. But he talked to him and he found out his name was David and he was indeed homeless. And while he guessed he was somewhere in his 50s, he said David was 32 years old and was just aged with living on the street and addiction, and his teeth were a disaster. And as they talked briefly, of course, because Pastor Cimbala wanted to just get away and get on to his Easter lunch, he reached into his back pocket to offer David some money, and David put out his hand and stopped him. And he said, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus that you were talking about. And Pastor Cimbala begins to weep because he says, I was not seeing him the way God sees him. I was not feeling what God feels. And as he wept, he said he felt something come over them, and both of them began weeping, and soon enough they were embracing one another. And Pastor Cimbala writes, the smell of his person became a beautiful aroma. He concludes, here is what I thought the Lord made real to me. If you don't love this smell, I can't use you, because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you are about. You are about this smell. You see, Pastor Cimbala needed to see with God's eyes. And David needed to be seen with God's eyes. And in that moment, both of them received a clarity about who they were and what God had called them to be. It turns out that a few months later, after David had been through rehab and started to put his trust and follow in the ways of Christ, he was sharing his testimony to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, and Pastor Jim realized, that guy is called to be a preacher. And sure enough, he was ordained soon after that. In that moment, when both of them began to see with God's eyes and to be seen with God's eyes, they understood who they were created to be and what God had called them to do. Another David begins and ends Psalm 139 with this recognition that he needs to be seen with God's eyes, and that he needs to see himself through God's eyes. He starts off the psalm by saying, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And he ends it by saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. David realizes that God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, if we truly want to understand both us, ourselves, and God, we need to be able to see ourselves with God's eyes. David walks us through all of the ways that God knows us. He talks about how God knows us when we lay down and when we get up, when we're at home, when we go out. He knew us before we had any awareness of ourselves in our mother's womb. And he will know us no matter where we go and what we do. God knows us when we are silent. God knows the words we are going to speak before we even speak them. And he concludes that I am fearfully and wonderfully made as I see myself through God's eyes. God has made me, and it is good. God knows us better than we know ourselves. It made me think of this story, this brief story that we read from Exodus 2 about this child born in Egypt to the house of Levi. And to give you a little bit of context, the Hebrew people had been in Egypt for many years, and this Pharaoh saw the Hebrew people as a threat and said, every one of the boys that is born should be killed. But when this boy is born, his mother says, this is a fine boy. She might have said, he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Before this child even has a name, they know that he has been created by God and called for a purpose, and so they defy the law of the Pharaoh, of the king, and hide him and keep him alive. And in a few verses, we'll find out that this child will be named Moses. You might have heard of him. Yes? I hope so. Good. God created Moses and God called Moses. But it took Moses a lifetime almost to understand what it was, who it was that God had created him to be, and what it was that God had called him to do. Moses goes through a process of understanding, and this process involves his story, how just life happened to him. It involves his heart, his passion, the things that he was passionate about even before he met God at the burning bush. It involves his gifts and his abilities. It involves his unique personality, the way he, Moses, was wired. And through all of that, Moses finally becomes Moses, the Moses that we know. And this fall, we're going to be following this process that Moses goes through. Because I think it's not just a process for Moses, it's a process that we need to engage in. Because we also are created by God and called for God's purpose. This is a great mystery that we get to uncover, that we can look at our stories and our passions and our gifts and our wiring, our personality, and see God's fingerprints on all of those, see the ways he has been shaping us and forming us to live in this world and to bless the world with his love. But as we begin this process, we need to start in Psalm 139. We need to start with this recognition that God knows me better than I know myself. This is not just about the life that I want, all of the things that I want, or who I think I am. This is about a God who has searched me and known me, who knows everything about me, who knit me together in my mother's womb. And so we need to acknowledge this morning that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? Amen. And so we need God then to remind us that each one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the very image of God, as we find out at the very beginning of this whole story. We need to be reminded of that. We also need God to show us the offensive ways in us, our sin that has twisted this image. As the psalmist prays at the end, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me or wicked way in me." We need God to show us that too. And God knows those things better than we know ourselves as well. And we need to trust that God will lead us in the way everlasting, as the psalm ends. That God does have a plan and purpose for each one of our lives in His kingdom. We need to remember that we are not a self-made man or woman. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, intricately woven together, intimately loved, richly blessed by God, strategically placed by God in this time, in this place, in this church, in this family, in this neighborhood, in this city, state, nation, to shine the light of Christ and to bless the world with God's love. And to know that God is taking each one of our stories and our passions and our gifts and our personalities, our wiring, and shaping them into something that will bless the world as Moses blessed the world with his ministry. Even the painful things in our stories, even our regrets, even those things. Some of you say, "Well, Moses, Moses, Moses." Well, as we read Moses' story, Moses didn't have a very upright, holy, church-going kind of story. Moses' personality wasn't this great, dynamic, captivate everyone's attention personality. Moses didn't have all of the gifts that we could ever ask for. Moses had a passion, and it was not used for very healthy and helpful purposes sometimes. But God still took those things, and He will take those things in you if we let Him, and transform them into someone who is created and called to bless the world. To create in us. We have ushers taking care of this right now. Okay, so let's just take a moment. Let's take a moment and pray. Let's just take a moment and pray real quick for Carol. Gracious God, we pray for Carol right now. Alice. Let's pray for Alice right now. Lord, be with Alice right now. Comfort her and keep her. God, be with those who are helping her right now. Help them to know how to serve her. And I pray that you would bring her back to a place of health and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. We need to be able to trust that God can take each one of our stories and passions and gifts and personalities and transform them into something that He can use for His kingdom and to bless the world. Just as God took the cross and turned it into an instrument of salvation and resurrection. We need to start again with this recognition that God knows us better than we know ourselves. So we need to go to God and ask God who He has created us to be and what He has created us to do. Now this fall, as we embark on this series, Created and Called, we have all kinds of, I think, neat activities and opportunities for you to get involved in this process of discovery. But I'm going to ask you for two things. One is for participation. Church doesn't work by magic. Okay? It doesn't work that you just like go and sit here on Sunday and magically something changes in your life. This is what faith is. It's a participation in what God is doing. So we're going to do things a little differently on Sunday mornings this fall. We're going to have, I've mentioned the four movements, the story, the passion, the gifts, and the wiring. We're going to have 2 weeks for each of those movements. The first week is going to be kind of a teaching where we look at the story of Moses and how God took his story or his passion or his gifts or what have you. The second week during worship, we're going to have a testimony from one of you about how God has taken that element in your life and used it to bless other people. We're going to have an activity that you are going to, a hands-on thing that you are going to get to participate in to help discover how God is using those things in you and transforming them into a purpose, into something good. So we want your participation. Oh, I also wanted you to notice this. You all have one of these? One of these booklets? This is for you to participate, all right? So this is for you to track along this fall with the things that we're learning, with the things that you're discovering, and to make a note so when we get to the end of the fall, you're not like, oh man, back in September we talked about this and I have no idea what we talked about. God showed me something, but I have no idea what it was. We want to get to the end of the fall and have you be able to have this book and be like, oh yeah, and be able to put the pieces together. So I encourage you to hang on to that and use it this fall. So that's the first thing, is what I'm asking for you, is for participation. The second thing is to remember that it is God's work in your life. This is not a self-discovery project. This is an intentionally prayerful, spiritual process where we ask God, show me. See those, help me to see with your eyes so I can know how you have created and called me. Because that's how the psalmist ends the psalm, with this dangerous prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a dangerous prayer, friends. To see with God's eyes, to see yourself with God's eyes. And we will only truly pray that prayer if we believe what Paul writes, that through Christ we are indeed God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God has prepared for us. It's that assurance of Christ's forgiveness, of Christ's love, of this process of becoming in Christ a masterpiece of God that allows us to pray that prayer. So let's say this one more time together. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God has prepared for us. It is in following Christ Jesus and only in following Christ Jesus that we ourselves become a new creation and begin to walk that path and see ourselves as the masterpiece God is making. We're going to take a moment now and just pray this dangerous prayer together. Search me, O God, and know my heart.